we're coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say. And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put some on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We got a wonderful program for you today, ladies and gentlemen. Today is the day that we focus in on some edification. We focus in on some edification, and I got a good sermon today from Pastor Jeffrey Johnson. Got a good sermon, and his sermon it's got a snappy lit title here. Is what in hell was Jesus doing? What in hell was Jesus doing? Get in close to your radio and listen. All right, we're keying it up now.
Our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a word from the Lord in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read two different passages of scripture today, which I don't know if I've ever done it. I don't do it very often if I have. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to read a verse of scripture out of 1 Peter chapter 3. Because we need 1 Peter to understand what is happening in Ephesians. Ephesians 4, I'm going to begin reading with verse 11. In 1 Peter 3, I'm going to look at verse 18 and 19. If you're not good at handling your Bible, just go to Ephesians and wait on us, okay? Ephesians 4 and 11. Well, let's start with verse 7. Ephesians 4 and 7. But to each one of us has been given, as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean? Except that he also descended into the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens, in order to fill the whole universe. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. I want to talk about what in hell was Jesus doing. In Ephesians 4, verses 7 through 10, there is a reference of Jesus who first ascended, but then he descended into the lower parts of the earth, into the lower regions of the earth. Another translation says, he descended unto the underworld, to the world beneath. Y'all, that is a reference to Hades, which oftentimes we translate to be hell. And we are so accustomed to seeing Jesus in exalted places. We're accustomed to seeing him at the right hand of the Father, in heaven on the throne of Christ. We're accustomed to seeing him in heavenly places. And God has highly exalted him and has given him a name that is above every. We're used to seeing Jesus in high, heavenly, exalted places. But I wanted to know, what in hell was Jesus doing? What was he doing in Hades? Now, just so that we can kind of understand, there are at least three different words coming out of the Bible that is translated hell, at least three. One is Sheol, and we find that in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. It is translated hell. It is the place of the dead, and not just the place of the dead, but the consciousness of the dead. It is where everybody goes after they die. It is the Hebrew word for hell, Sheol. That's where everybody went after they died. Now, the Greek word for Sheol, which is the Hebrew Old Testament word, the Greek New Testament word for Sheol is Hades, which is the reference in Ephesians 4, verses 8, 9, and 10. And the word Hades is the exact same thing as Sheol. It is the place of the dead. That's where people, after they die, go. Everybody goes to Hades. Everybody goes to Sheol, the pit, the place of the dead, the consciousness of the dead. Now, while they are there, there are at least two sides to Hades, at least two sides to the place of the dead. There is the place of the wicked, the side of the wicked who receive their punishment in Hades. But there was also the side of the righteous who received their reward in Hades. And it is a gulf that stands between them. There is this barrier between them, this chasm, if you will. You might remember in the Gospels where Jesus was telling this story about this rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man wouldn't share with Lazarus, who was poor, and the dogs would lick his sores. Y'all remember that? Both of them died. And when they died, the Bible says that Lazarus was carried to the bosom of Abraham. And that the rich man in Hades, he lifted his eyes. Both of them went to the place of the dead. And then the rich man, while in Hades, said to Abraham, "Can you get Lazarus to give me a drop of water?" Abraham said, "Even if we wanted to, we could not. Because there is a chasm between us. There's a gulf between us. There's a barrier between us where the wicked cannot get to the righteous. And the righteous cannot get to the wicked." This is where the Bible is telling us, Paul is saying, that's where Jesus goes to the lower regions. He goes to Hades. He goes to the underworld. He goes to the world beneath. This is where Peter says Jesus went after his crucifixion and before his resurrection. And he goes to this place that is Hades and divided by this barrier with the wicked on one side and the righteous on the other. And when Jesus goes there, he preaches to the spirits in prison, and then he brings a certain group out. It is that righteous group that he brings out, and he takes them on to heaven, so that now to be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. So now when we die, we go directly to where the Lord is. We go directly to heaven. But he went and took captivity, led captivity out of Hades. This is the reference to that. And so there's a third word. We looked at Sheol. We looked at Hades. There's a third word in the Bible that is translated hell. And that is Gehenna. Gehenna is that place that most of us think about in terms of hell. It is eternal damnation. It is the eternal punishment for sinners. And that's why in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verse 43, Jesus said, if your right hand is causing you to sin, cut it off. Because it is better to be maimed on earth than to go to Gehenna, than to allow your sin to take you to hell, where there is unquenchable fire. And you might remember in the book of Revelations, chapter 20, where it talks about death and hell. That's the first death. Will be cast into the lake of Gehenna, the lake of fires. That's the second death. Y'all, there is an eternal damnation for those who reject Jesus Christ. There is a hell that you burn forever. But today, I want us to learn how to handle hell and to deal with hell, because some of us are catching some hell on earth. Because hell is a place, there is a Gehenna, there is a place of eternal damnation, eternal punishment, where there is no mercy of God. There is that place that we experience after we die if we reject Jesus. But y'all, hell can be a consciousness. It can be a state of mind. Hell is not just a place, but it is a state of ideal. And some of us, I got a friend who talks about heaven on earth. But y'all, there is a hell on earth. And there is a state of consciousness that many of us now are experiencing. When the New Testament describes hell, we've already looked at the definition of hell. But when the New Testament gives a description of hell, listen to hell's description. It is no exit. It is torment. It is weeping, crying, and gnashing the teeth. There is frustration. It is a place of bondage. It's a place of prison. It's a place of, it is a place of unfulfilled desires. That's the description of it. And when we give that description, some of us may not be in Gehenna, but we're certainly catching some hell. We're frustrated. We're in bondage. We're crying. And we're in something we cannot get out of because there is no exit. Because hell can also be a condition. And that's where we want to focus today. Not just in hell when you die, but the hell some of us are catching right now. All right, let me see if I can make this even more clear. There's a man by the name of Jean-Paul Sartre. And Jean-Paul Sartre has a play, this book that is out. It is called No Exit. And in that book, Jean-Paul Sartre gives his idea of what hell is. And in his book, Jean-Paul has these three characters. There is Garson, Inez, and Estelle. All of them die and end up in hell. And when they go to hell, they end up in this room, just this room. And the room has one door, but you can't get out of it. You can go in, but you can't exit through the door. That's why the book is called No Exit. And it has three sofas in the room. One table with a bronze statue on it. And one lamp that doesn't work. All three of them end up in the same room. As they come in the room, they are looking for the torturers. They're looking for the fire. They're looking for the brimstone. They're looking for the instruments of torment, and they see none of that. They just see each other. They see three sofas, a table, a bronze statue, a lamp that doesn't work, no mirrors, no windows, no glass, and one door you come in and can't get out. And it is in that room with each other for eternity. They spend eternity, and they get on each other's nerves, and their conversations frustrate each other. And Garson is putting his hands over his ears trying to get them to shut up, but they won't shut up. And every time they try to be quiet, somebody bursts in and starts saying something, and they frustrate each other. And then to make matters worse, Inez is a homosexual female, and she's trying to get with Estelle. But Estelle is a heterosexual female who's trying to get with Garson. And Garson is a man, but he's not interested in Estelle because he's trying to get Inez to accept him. And so here is Garson trying to get Inez to accept him. Here is Inez trying to ignore Garson, who's coming after her. And she's trying to get with Estelle. Estelle ain't thinking about Inez because she's trying to get with Garson. And there is this vicious circle to the point that Garson couldn't stand it anymore. He runs up to the door and begins to scream and to holler, "Y'all let me out of here. Where are the racks of pain? Where are the hot pincers? Where are the torments? Where are the instruments of torments? Where are the torturers? Where's the fire? Where's the brimstone? I can take anything except this." And Garson says, "Hell is other people." And for some of us, that's the hell we living in. Our spouse is hell. Our children are giving us hell. Our co-workers are giving us hell. Our subordinates are giving us hell. Our supervisor is hell to us. For many of us, hell is other people. But Natalie Cole says hell ain't other people. She says, "I'm catching hell, living here alone." For Natalie Cole, hell is being by herself. Freddie Haynes says it doesn't make sense to catch all this hell on earth, then die and go to hell. That's just too much hell. And some of y'all more concerned about me saying hell than the fact somebody's catching it.
So how do you handle hell? How do you deal with it? I tell you this, when you're going through hell, you cannot lose hope. When you're experiencing hell on earth, now in Gehenna, there is no hope. You finish after you die and you rejected Jesus and you end up in Gehenna, that's it. But as long as you're still on this earth, that means whatever you're facing has not been fatal nor final. And I know it hasn't been fatal or final because you're still alive. Which means you can still be fruitful if you don't give up when you're going through your situations. All right, let me see if I can make that plain. One of my partners tells this story about this huge building that it caught on fire. Of course, they called 911. The fire trucks begin to pull up. And this one particular fire truck that pulls up at this big, huge burning building. Normally, fire trucks will pull up right outside the burning buildings and then put the fires out from the outside. But not this fire truck. This fire truck, when it pulled up, never slowed down. It never slowed down, but just went straight into the building. It didn't pull up out front, but it never slowed and pulled straight into the burning building. And once it got into the burning building, unlike the other fire trucks that would put fires out from the outside, it was putting the fire out from inside the burning building. And they put the fire out, saved lives, saved most of the building. And so the mayor honored them. These firemen became heroes, and they got honored by the mayor. And then the man that owned the building, when they honored the firemen, he gave them a $10,000 reward. And so they were asked, what are you going to do with this $10,000 reward for being heroes and showing bravery? And one of the men on the fire truck said, the first thing we're going to do is get the brakes on that truck fixed. Y'all, they weren't trying to get in the fire. But once they got in the fire, it was either going to be the fire or them. And so they began to battle it from the inside out. Yo, if you in the midst of hell, you cannot give up. You can't throw in the towel. It's going to be you or the hell. And you might as well keep trying to get out of your situation. Do I have a witness in here? Now, one of the things the text shows us, whether it's Sheol, Hades, whatever kind of hell you're facing, it shows us the depths. How far Jesus will come for us. He comes to the lower regions of the world. He comes to the underworld. He comes to Hades. Y'all, I don't care how low down you are. That's why he came down. Because he knew we were low down. Whatever level you are on, Jesus shows up at your level. That is the difference between Christianity and every other religion. I don't care what religion you name. I study the religions of the world, whether it's Buddhism or Hinduism or Muslim, whatever, Confucianism, whatever religion you study, it is an effort, man's effort to try to get to God. And that's why most of us live life so frustrated, because we are too low down to get to God. In every other religion, it is man's efforts to come from their low down hellish state to try to get to God. But in Christianity, what separates Christianity from every other religion is not us trying to get to God, but it's God coming to us. That's what the incarnation is all about. Jesus, yes, he was ascended, but he descended. He came to where we are because we can't get to where he is. He shows up in our situations. And watch what he does when he shows up in hell. He led, King James Version, he led captivity captive. The New International Version, he led the captives in his train. This is a picture of the ancient kings of old, where those victorious kings, as they fought another enemy nation, and they defeated the other king, that they would take that king and the POWs of the enemy nation, and they would bring them out of the enemy kingdom and parade them down the street into the victorious kingdom's cities. And they would parade them through the cities. So when it talks about him taking captivity captive, taking captivity in his train, Jesus is a victorious king that goes into an enemy nation and he pulls certain ones out and he parades us out. We come out in his train. That's what that's talking about. It says he led them out. Y'all, when you in hell, you can't get out on your own. And that's why people saying, Pastor, as soon as I get myself together, I'm going to give my life to Christ. As soon as I get myself together, I'm getting back in. You can't come out on your own. When you are held by hell, you're going to need the power of Jesus to pull you out. That's why when you in hell, he led them out. You got to learn how to follow Jesus to get out of your hell. Most of us forsake him when we in bondage. When we going through, we forsake him. We stop coming to church. We stop praying. We stop reading scripture. We stop fasting. We stop hanging out with the saints. We start running with the wrong crowd. That's because we forsake him. But when you in hell, you got to have enough sense to know I can't get myself out. So I ain't going to forsake him. I'm going to follow him. Now understand, when you follow him, when he leads you out, you do not come out instantly. He doesn't rapture you out of hell. He didn't snatch them out of hell. He led them out, which means they came out slowly and they came out gradually. And they came out one step at a time. Yo, when you're going through hell, you gotta not forsake him, but keep following him. And as long as you following him, eventually you're gonna come out of the stuff you in. It doesn't mean that I'm gonna lay hands on you and all your hell is gone. But what it does mean, that if you keep on walking after Jesus Christ, because he ascends, you can't help but come up out of that thing. And no matter how bad off you are, Jesus can get to it. Yo, that's what this is saying. For 21 years of my ministry, I've never preached this text. Y'all don't know how many times I tried to. I could never figure it out with all my praying, all my studying, all of that. And finally, the Holy Spirit showed me. This text is showing us, Jeffrey Johnson, that no matter where you are, Jesus can get to where you are. When nobody else can get there, when your family can't get there, your friends, your psychiatrist can't get there, Jesus, you got to follow him out.
Amen. Amen. We're going to stop the tape right there today, but we're going to pick right back up there tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. That was Jeffrey Johnson, and his sermon is entitled, What in Hell Was Jesus Doing? All right, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.